The subject of today's session is change. Jeremiah, not one of the most cheery prophets in the Bible, said this. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. In the easy-to-read version, it says that same verse like this. A black man cannot change the color of his skin, and a leopard cannot change its spots. In the same way, Jerusalem, you cannot change and do good. You always do bad things. So the question today is, are people self-determinate beings capable of change? That's something you can think of. Can you think of people in your life that have you started off one way and changed? Or did they pretty much stay the same as they were? So on one hand, there's a view that says, perhaps people don't change. And there's a few sayings that go along with that to help us to understand kind of what they're getting at. One is the saying that says, maybe we are who we are, and that's that. People don't change. Another saying says, a zebra never changes his stripes. Another, people don't change. They just reveal their real selves over time. So someone might be able to put up a front, but the real person is there, and given enough time, that real person will reveal himself. And a fourth example says that examples of people who don't change are plentiful. Despite backlash and personal repercussions, a convicted felon may continue his illegal lifestyle at the risk of breaking parole and being sent back to prison. So that says, people who are in prison, they don't change. They just come out and they end up committing crimes again and they end up back in prison again. A drama queen continually pushes people from her life despite her need for meaningful relationships. And the third example here, leaders do what's comfortable for them. We'll often use politicians for leaders here. They do what's comfortable for them in the moment rather than what's best for those who they lead. That politicians or leaders don't change. And the fifth example comes from that Aesop fable, the scorpion and the frog. I think most people are familiar with that story that says that people can't change their basic nature. And it begins with a scorpion asking a frog for a ride across the river. And the frog says, no way, you're going to sting me and then I'll die. And the scorpion reasons with the frog and says, if I sting you, we're both going to drown, so you could be assured that you'll be safe. And that made sense to the frog. The frog takes him across the river, they get halfway across, and the scorpion stings him. And the frog, just when he's taking his last breath, says, why did you sting me? Now we're both going to drown. And he says to the frog, I'm a scorpion. It's my nature to do that. And again, the idea there is if it's his nature, he can't change that. But on the other hand, there's a view that says that people can change. And some sayings that go along with that include things like, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. And if you think about your own life, have you changed over time? Was it easy or was it hard? And was it little changes that you did in your life or was it big changes? I like Muhammad Ali's take on it when he said, a man who views the world the same at 50 as he did at 20 has wasted 30 years of his life. What Muhammad Ali was saying is that you're going to grow and experience, you're going to change, and you're going to change some of your views. And so when you look at things at age 50, it's likely going to be very different than when you were young. What do psychologists say about this concept of people changing? Do people really change? Well, the first thing that psychologists do is they change the question. So here's three alternate questions worth considering. Do people really change? Evidence points to yes, we're constantly changing. Physically, medically, emotionally, spiritually. Medical research reveals that the cells in your body change about every 7 years. So if anyone was here 7 years ago, the being, the person that's sitting in front of me is totally different. Every cell in your body potentially is different from what it was 7 years ago. Brain studies reveal extraordinary neuroplasticity. That's the word for today, neuroplasticity, which just says that your brain can redo the wiring. And if you had a habit of doing things one way, you can change the way the brain is wired and do it a different way. The brain has that ability to change. Mindfulness research poses exciting possibilities for developing empathy, making better decisions, and enhancing emotional regulation. And the next one, motivation science, that's one of my favorite ones, points to how fulfilling psychological needs affects almost everything we do and feel. And that's the reason in the bottom corner I put in that example of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. What Maslow, the psychologist, said was that everything that people do is based on fulfilling a need. So if you're a street person and you're starving, the first thing that you're focused on is getting food. And you don't worry about whether your hair is combed. The esteem needs that you have are not important. You focus on the basic needs first. But once you have food, the next kinds of things you might focus on is a place to stay. So you can see, as you go from the bottom of the pyramid up to the top, people are first focused on the psychological needs, and then the safety needs, and then love and belonging needs, all the way till you get to the top of self-actualization. And so if you get up from your chair and go back to the back, it might be because you have a need for a drink or a need for some food. So everything that people do can be tied to they're fulfilling a need. And so I always thought that was an interesting model. It says, a common thread of every great spiritual practice throughout history is the belief that human beings can raise their conscious awareness and live life at a higher level. The belief that things can change enhances you to greet a new day. Hope is a belief that things and you can change for the better. The other questions that psychologists ask are, do you want to change? Your blind spots are the biggest obstacles to being a good leader. You need to accept and build on your strengths, but be willing to change your behavior when necessary to achieve goals for the common good. So leaders need to be able to change. This is not soft stuff. In fact, introspection and becoming more versatile is hard work. They require conscious and applied effort. They take quiet, reflective time, and they demand honesty and courage to challenge how your inner psychic needs influence the way you meet the world. So to answer the question, do you want to change? Lots of people want, but don't necessarily put the effort into it. And that's what they're saying here is you can change. You need to want to change, and you need to want it bad enough to really put some effort into it. The third question that psychologists talk about is, how does change happen? And there's a few points listed. It says people often come to treatment because they feel they're not their best selves. They're no longer as patient, agreeable, relaxed, or outgoing. And so people will change because they don't feel that they're fulfilling what they can be doing. If you believe your personality is hardwired, mostly a matter of genetics, and simply you are who you are, that you can't change your basic nature, then you won't care about how change happens. But if you sense that your human nature is complex, yet capable of growth, then you might be curious about how change happens. So sometimes it's the way that your inner mind works as to whether you think that you can change or not, or think that people will change or not. Ultimately, Any change has to be the result of wanting to change yourself, a true desire to evolve for your own reasons. I told him 5 times, but he keeps insisting he's right. He'll never change. Well, he might, but not because you tell him 5 times or 1,000. People rarely change because you tell them things. They change because their life experiences have made them open to change. People really do change, but it takes a paradigm shift. That is, they have to believe something very different than what they formerly believed, and then act on their new belief. The creation of new beliefs and actions based on them creates a new systematic approach to everything related to those beliefs, and people do change. And people change, really change, when they perceive an advantage will accrue if they do change. So usually there's this idea of the carrot or the stick. There's a motivation that says, I need to change, and this is the reason. So some people change their health habits, for example, because the doctor tells them that if you don't change, you might die. That becomes a powerful motivator and causes some people to do the work to change. And now for some scriptures on change. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So part of the Christian walk is this idea of becoming a new creation, that you put away the past and you work towards the new creation that Christ wants of you. In Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So once again, the idea of a heart of flesh is one that's sensitive to the things happening around him and that can change, that can react based on that. In Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So again, that word new comes into play here again. So what is old gets put behind, and you be transformed and renewed, and that's where the change towards becoming more in line with what God would have you to be, that's where it comes from. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So once again, there's a starting point, and then change occurs from there. As I was thinking about this subject, a few things came to mind. One was the definition of what sin is. And I looked it up in Strong's, and again, one of those definitions of sin is the idea of missing the mark. And it's a case that God doesn't want you to sin. He doesn't want you to miss the mark. He wants you to start hitting the mark. And that means a change. God wants a change in each of us. A definition of repent, again, looked up in Strong's, means to change or to think differently. And so once again, the idea of just being comfortable, you know, come as you are, isn't what God wants. God wants you to work on yourself and to change. And perhaps the most important of the verses is in John 14, 26 here, where it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all things I said to you. So one of the benefits we have as Christians is we have God's Spirit that is sent to us to teach us, to help us to make the changes that we need to in our lives. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it gives examples of what kind of things do we need to change? And Peter says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So you might have a certain amount of Christian walk in you, but here they're talking about diligence. Give diligence and then add to your faith. So Faith is something that you start out with a bit of. Add to that virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. Again, all of these words could be an entire sermonette or sermon in itself. The point is that Peter's pointing out that we as Christians need to be able to change. We need to be able to add these things to our life. In closing, it says, the truth is, people might change or they might not. People really can change. It's human nature to want to improve. All that's needed, according to psychologists, is motivation through a paradigm shift and action in furtherance of new beliefs. For the Christian, we have the advantage of the Holy Spirit to help us in our changes to be more like our example, Jesus Christ.